Okay, we're starting here, five lines up on the bottom of Yud Bet Amud Bet, just to review what we left off with yesterday, which is the Gemara brought from our Mishnah, the fact that Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper on different forms of Averot. One of them was a Mitzvah Taseh. And the question is, Hayaseh Hechidami, what exactly is the manifestation of this Aseh that you need Yom Kippur to take care of? Idlo Ava Tshuva, if the person didn't do any Tshuva, Zevach Rishayim Toeva. Person who brings a korban and does not want to rectify their ways, has no remorse or regret, then Hashem's not interested in their korban. The zevach, the korban of a rasha, toeva, is something that is abominable, disgusting before Hashem. Hashem has no interest in such a korban. So if the person is still in their rebellious stage and does not accept responsibility for the aseh that they violated, then why should Yom HaKippurim do anything for them? Ida vatshuva, the person already did tshuva, Kol Yom Anami. What do you need Yom HaKippurim for that you could rectify on any day of the year? Tanya, Avara mitzvah taseh, vasa tshuva. Someone who violates a mitzvah taseh and then does tshuva. Lo zaz misham, ad shemochalim lo. Person doesn't walk away from there unless he gets kapara. So there is an immediate kapara that is gained through tshuva. Why do you have to wait for Yom HaKippurim? The Balei Tosafot over here mentioned, where all the sugya is. The sugya is in the last perek in Masechet Yoma, where it explains all the different averot and the tshuva and the things that are mechaper. Alasei valot asei tshuva mechaperet. There the Braita says not only about a mitzvah asei, it says about a mitzvah lot asei, that tshuva takes care of it. V'amar nami Masechet Chagiga, kol ha'osei davar mitcharet mochvim lo miyad, afilu bishar averot. As soon as a person does an Avera, and right away they regret it, they're embarrassed about it, they have remorse about it, then they are forgiven, and they gain kapara, atonement, immediately. So what's this business here about? First of all, an Aseh only, which the Gemara is speaking about. And number two is, the idea of tshuva, just mere regret, that the person is mitcharet already, is enough to gain them that kapara, even beyond the mitzvot Aseh. So, eina mechila gmura, eshe mekilim lo adin. Of a mitzvah to say, mochlin the gamre. The Tosafot over here creates a bifurcation of that din. It says when it comes to a mitzvah to say, tshuva, or charata, or being embarrassed about it, gains you kapara immediately. For other avirot, it helps. It doesn't solve the problem completely, it doesn't gain you full atonement, but it gains you a reduction in your sentence, it gets you some leniency, and then you have to deal with all the other things that you need to do in order to gain that kapara. But that means that even though the Gemara brings them together in those statements in Yoma, nevertheless the Balei Tosafot see different outcomes for each of them. It's beneficial, just how beneficial is the question. By Aseh, it's completely beneficial, and that's what the Gemara is bothered by over here. How is it that you need Yom Kippur to deal with a mitzvah Aseh? Amar Rabbi Zeira, Bomeid Bemerdo, the answer is that he is still in his rebellious stage. He does not have remorse, no regret. Verabihi. But it's based on the position of Rabbi, who is found in Masechet Yoma, where Rabbi says, "Itzmo shel Yom HaKippurim mechaper," that the day of Yom Kippur is mechaper. The Tanya Rabbi Omer, "Kol avirot shebetorah ben asa tshuva ben lo asa tshuva," whether he did or did not accomplish tshuva, Yom HaKippurim mechaper. Yom Kippur takes care of them. Chutz miporeko umigalei pani betorah umefer brit babasar. So these are the three averot which are not taken care of by Yom HaKippurim. Those are the exceptions, and we'll see in a second why these are not covered. There, Shem Asah Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Those three exceptions, if you do tshuva, then Yom Kippur helps. Im Lav, if you did do tshuva, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. Then Yom Kippur doesn't help you out at all. The Gemara will bring a proof to this, but Rabbi Shita is that with or without tshuva, Yom HaKippurim has the power to provide kapara for the individual. So here this individual violated an aseh, does not do tshuva. Despite that fact, Yom Kippur will be mechaper for this individual, even though he doesn't do tshuva. So that'll be the answer to our question, what's the case of a mitzvah aseh that you need Yom Kippur to take care of? That's the Shitat Rabbi. If you didn't do tshuva, then Yom Kippur will help you out. For the Chachamim, that won't work. The Chachamim believe, and we'll see this in a second, that you need tshuva no matter what. If you don't have tshuva, then it won't help you. You can't get kapara for a mitzvah to say if you have yet to do tshuva. The Ritva points out that the Gemara here does not differentiate between our Mishnah and the Braita that's brought about Rabbi, which seems to equate Korban and Mastir Mishdaleach with Yom Kippur itself. And that shows you that Rabbi's Shita might be connected to when there's a Voda in the Mikdash. And when Rabbi says, Itzimosho Yom Mechaper, the Ritva suggests over here that that's limited to when the avoda is done on Yom Kippur. But without avoda on Yom Kippur does not provide that kapara without tshuva. Whereas other Rishonim believe that Rabbi's Shita is irrespective or independent of the Korbanot. And you can see that in the Tosafot on the top of the Amud Bet, in the Yesh Mefarshim, where he seems to indicate that Yom Kippur can accomplish kapara even without the Seir HaMishtaleach. As opposed to the previous answers that he brought that seemed to indicate that Yom Kippur needs the Seir HaMishtaleach in order to be Mechaper. But you can see here by the fact that the Gemara does not make that distinction, shows you that they think, that's what the Ritva claims, that Rabbi's Shita is integrally connected to the Kapara of the Seir HaMishtaleach. Now, Tosfot over here spends time on trying to refine the definition of the opinions of Rabbi and the Chachamim as to when it does or does not work. And he says, when we have this case in Yoma that says, Mita v'yom kippurim mechaprim im tshuva, death, and Yom Kippur mechaper with tshuva, im and tshuva in, that sounds like with tshuva, yes, bifnei atzmo, lo, hamani, who is the author of that position? The local Rabbi doesn't follow Rabbi's position. Clearly, Rabbi believes you don't need tshuva for Yom Kippurim to help you out. It doesn't follow Chachamim, because they believe that Mita below tshuva is also mechaper, that death is the ultimate mechaper, even without tshuva, with the exception of these three that we're mentioning here, that the Chachamim believe also that death cannot help without tshuva. So now, whose opinion is that in the Gemara in Yoma? So he says, Veshlamar, Tahachaloka Amrei Rabbanon de Mita Mamreket, Ele Ima Isurim, that Mita helps you only along with Isurim, Vadinim Shidanim Oto Lachar Mita, and the additional punishments that are brought after death. Valdeka Ha'inu Nichrat Olam Abba. Through that, he won't lose his Olam Abba. Aval, im tshuva, mita mamerket gamrei. If he has tshuva, then mita is a complete atonement. She'ein nidon od b'yisurim nachar mita. And in that way, he won't get b'yisurim after mita. Over the Rabbi, mita b'yom kippurim below tshuva mamerket gamrei. They cleanse your slate completely, b'shar aveirot, with other aveirot. So here, Tosafot refines those opinions and says, according to Rabbi, without tshuva, Yom Kippur, or death, can give you a complete atonement. For the Chachamim, death provides atonement without tshuva, but that's together with the additional punishments that the person will face after death. The din after death, or the isurim after death, together with the death, will provide that atonement without tshuva. But if a person does tshuva, then that will help them to avoid the post-death isurim, or problems that they would have had. That's why we encourage people to do vidui before they pass away, to do tshuva before they pass away, because the tshuva and the vidui, together with the death of the individual, provide that package of kapara, of atonement, according to the Chachamim, by which then mita would be the final kapara, and you would not need any surim or any punishment post that. So that's the difference. Chachamim say, yeah, mita works, but that's mita plus. Whatever you have to get afterwards, it'll work without tshuva. But if you want to avoid the plus afterwards, you do tshuva and mita, and that gives you a complete kapara. So here we have a machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi as to the kapara afforded to all of Eirot, except for these three, whether Yom Kippur can provide that kapara without tshuva, or you need tshuva. My time with the Rabbi, and what's the reason behind Rabbi's position, Titania? Ki davar Hashem baza, because he denigrated the word of Hashem, zeporek o. That's someone who is kofir v'ikar, as Rashi says over here. Interesting explanation he gives for that, because bizah dibur rishon. This is a person who denigrates the first dibra of the Aseret HaDibrot, Nochei Hashem Elokecha, that we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. So that's Devar Hashem, the word of Hashem, bizah, he denigrates. The dibra that we heard directly from God was the first dibra. And the person who denigrates that dibra of Hashem, that's the porekol, that's someone who's a kofir ba'ikar, that's someone for whom Yom Kippurim will not do any good without tshuva, according to Rabbi. Migalei panim b'torah is someone who says things without any embarrassment or without any consideration about the implications of what they are saying. The Gemara in Perek Achelik in Sanhedrin brought this and then described Menashe HaMelech, who was Doresh Dvarim Shel Dofi. But Torah, things that were meaningless, or he basically said, Sukim the Torah were unnecessary. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu put them in there? The Galei Panim Torah is a person who has no qualms about what they say about the Torah, or going against the Torah or the authenticity of the Torah. So then you obviously have Rishonim who say that other religions who reinterpret the Torah in their way are also considered Migalei Panim Batorah. But here, Porekol Migalei Panim Batorah are grouped together as basically being Kofer Beikar, people who deny the fundamentals of our faith, belief in God, Torah Misinai, and those are all subsumed under Dvar Hashem Baza. Vet Mitzvoto Heifar, and then they nullified his mitzvah. Zehamefer Brit Babasar. This is someone who denies the Brit Milah. It's not clear whether denying Brit Milah means they don't do the Brit Milah, or we find, for instance, in other places, including Mishnah and Avot, that someone who tries to Moshech Orlato, someone tries to remove the Brit Milah that they have and tries to put the Orla back so as if they don't have a Brit Milah. It's not clear which of these two it is. Rashi claims the reason that this is Brit Basar is because of Mitzvato, that it's written in the singular Mitzvah, which is the Mitzvah Yechidit, that unique Mitzvah that belongs to Jews, that was given to Avram Avinu. That's why it's referencing to the Brit Milah. On the other hand, the Ritva suggests over here that Mitzvato Hefar is the same terminology that's used in Sefer Breshit with regards to someone who does not get a Brit Milah at Mitzvato Hefar. So the same language that's used over there gives you this Agadic Gezerah Shava that tells you that it's speaking about Brit, Basar, or the Brit Milah. So those Hikaret, Tikaret, Hikaret Lifnei Yom HaKippurim, that person will be cut off or lose the Olam Haba prior to Yom Kippur. Tikaret lachar Yom Kippurim. They will also be in the same standing after Yom Kippurim, post Yom Kippurim for Rabbi, which would have provided kapara. For these three, tikaret, it's still a problem, and Yom Kippur doesn't help you. Yochal afilu asa tshuva, you would think if you did tshuva, that wouldn't be the case. Tamal omar, avona ba. The pasuk says that as long as the avon is still there, that's only true when the avon is still extant, meaning that person hasn't done tshuva, hasn't accomplished the atonement that they need, then Yom Kippur can't help them. But if they do tshuva, Yom Kippur can help them in that situation. So these three are the exception. Everything else, according to Rabbi, Yom Kippur takes care of. These three that are exception need tshuva and Yom Kippurim in order to rectify them. Rabbanon, so what about the Rabbanon? What are they going to do with this? Right, this drasha of Rabbi, Ikaret Balamazet, Tikaret Olamava. They say Ikaret Tikaret, the duplication of the Lashon is not about before Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur. It's about Olamazet Olamava, which is what we just spoke about, that the Chachamim believe that this is something that could affect you, Olamava. These three Aveirot, you could be punished for. If you don't do tshuva, they can affect you, Olamava. Avunava, Shimasa Tshuva Umeit, Mita Mamreket. So a person does tshuva and then passes away, then that mita, that death, will take care of them. So the Chachamim say with regards to these three violations, tshuva and mita solve the problem, implying that for other violations, just mita itself would have been sufficient. And that's what the Baal Tosafot dealt with over here, where it sounds like that's not the case. And so there he comes up with this solution, which suggests that mita helps in situations where there's the plus, the other things that you get after mita. Tshuva provides you that kapara. You don't need the things beyond mita to take care of that problem. Can you really set up our Mishnah like Rabbi, which is what the Gemara is attempting to do now? The mitzvah to say in our Mishnah that you get kapara through Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah to say where a person is still rebellious, has not had any remorse, and then Yom Kippur can help, because that's Rabbi's position, that Yom Kippur helps you even without tshuva, with the exception of the three that we just mentioned. Rabbi the Seifa Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that the Seifa of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, Reisha Nami Rabbi Yehuda, the Reisha should also be Rabbi Yehuda, because Diktani Seifa, the latter part of our Mishnah said, Echad Yisrael, Ve'echad Kohanim, Ve'echad Kohen HaMashuach, all these individuals gain kapara together through the Seira Mishtaleach, Uman Itlei Haisvoro, who's the one who believes that all three parties here get the same kapara from the same korban? Rabbi Yehuda. Michlau, from that you would infer, the Resha, Rabbi Yehuda. But the Resha of the Mishnah is also Rabbi Yehuda. If it wasn't that case, then the Mishnah should have stopped at some point and said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda Amar. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't do that and continues to write it as a anonymous Mishnah, and the position that we find later in the Mishnah is clearly attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, then that means the earlier part of the Mishnah likely was Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise, there should have been some transition that says this is Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, but until now it wasn't Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. So if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah, then how can you claim that Rabbi is the author of the Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi he, v'savar laki Rabbi Yehuda. No problem. Rabbi could be the author of the Mishnah, and he subscribes to that position of Rabbi Yehuda. Samarlei Abaye, so Rabbi Yosef's Talmid Abaye then queries his Rebbe and says, Davka kamar mar, Rabbi savar laki Rabbi Yehuda. Did you intentionally say that Rabbi subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda? Ala Rabbi Yehuda lo savar laki Rabbi. But the other way around, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily subscribe to the position of Rabbi, because if he did subscribe to the position of Rabbi, then he could have just as easily been the author of the Mishnah. Why do you have to make the author of the Mishnah Rabbi? Just make the author of the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, and he subscribes to Rabbi's position. Odilma, mid Rabbi Sabalak Rabbi Yehuda, Av Rabbi Yehuda Sabalak Amika Rabbi. Or is this a mutual view or position where Rabbi subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's position, and Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Rabbi's position? Miu, so then how do you explain the fact that the Gemara now says Rabbi's the author of the Mishnah, or Rabbi Yosef said over here that Rabbi subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda and not the other way around? Orcha de Miltok Toni. He did it in the way of Derech Eretz. The Meimar, the Talmid, Savalaka Rabbe. That Rabbi, who's the Talmid, held like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. But the other way around would be the case as well. It's just, it's not appropriate to say that the Rebbe holds like the Talmid. So Rabbi's Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Stam, who is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. And so we say that Rabbi subscribes to his Rebbe's position, which is a nice way to say it, not implying that the other way is not true, but just you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that Rabbi Yehuda holds like his Talmud, Rabbi. Amalei in Davka Kahamina. Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye and says, I'm saying it in particular and definitively. Rabbi Savalaka Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi does subscribe to that position of Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda lo Savalaka Rabbi. But the other way around is not true. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily subscribe to Rabbi's position. Titania, because we have a brighter. You would think that Yom Kippur could take care of someone who does tshuva, doesn't do tshuva. Bidinu, logical argument. Just like the korbanot that are brought for atonement, they provide kapara, and Yom Kippur provides kapara. Machatat v'asham im mechaprim el ha'shavim. Just like a chatat and Hashem only function, only provide kapara when the person does tshuva. And we know that because there's a requirement of vidui when it comes to a chatat v'asham. That requirement of vidui ensures that the person who's doing this is doing tshuva or has some regret or remorse over here when they bring the korban. Af yom ha'kippurim inim chaper el al ha'shavim. So too, Yom Kippur is only provides kapara for the shavim. So the dinu is that this is a logical argument that if you have items that provide kapara, they function in the same way. Just like korbanot function in a way that requires tshuva, so do Yom Kippur. Malachatat v'asham she'im mechaprim ala mizid kishogeg. Wait a minute. The korbanot are a little different than Yom Kippur. Korbanot only provide kapara for unintentional violations. They do not provide kapara for intentional violations. Tomar liyom ha'kippurim. Yom Kippur provides additional kapara. It provides kapara for things that you did unintentionally, but also things that you did intentionally. If that's the case, Yom Kippur has a greater level of kapara. Maybe it can provide that kapara even if you don't do tshuva. Just like it helps you by intentional violations, it should also be able to help you even without tshuva. Just like it has a greater power so that it can take care of intentional violations, so too it can take care of people who are doomed to tshuva. Talmud Omar, ach, chilek. The pasuk in the Torah, in Parshat Emor, that begins to speak about Yom Kippur says, ach, lebasor lechodesh hazeh, And the Ach comes to say that there's a limitation in the power of Yom HaKippurim. And that limitation is that it only provides kapara for those that are shav, for those that do tshuva, not for those that don't do tshuva. So over here, there are a couple of questions. First of all, in terms of korbanot, there are korbanot that do provide kapara, even if they're not a shogeg. Rashi points this out, the Balei HaTosafot. Also note this, for instance, we're going to get to them in our Masechta. We have korbanot, shvuat ha'idut, shvuat ha'pikadon. Those are violations where you bring a korban, even if you do it, or only when you do it, b'mezid. Asham zelot, asham shibicharufa. Also are korbanot that are only brought, b'mezid, not b'shogeg. So you have korbanot that do provide kapara b'mezid, not just b'shogeg. So the answer to that is that Rashi just notes that the overwhelming majority of korbanot are korbanot that only come b'shogeg. The other way to deal with it is simply to say that there is no case where there's a violation involving karet where you can bring a korban that would solve the problem b'mezid. Any case where you have karet involved, then the only time you bring a korban is b'shogeg. There's no mezid that has a korban involving a protection or kaparav for karet. The others that we mentioned here are lavin or a violation of an assay, those korbanot provide kapara b'mezid in those instances, but not for karet. So that's the other way to deal with it. The comparison to Yom HaKippurim made us think that possibly only tshuva should help. The Gemara says maybe not, because Yom Kippur provides more kapara. And then we had a miut in the pasuk that says there is a limitation to the kapara of Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara brought this bright that it proved to you what the position of Rabbi Yehuda is. So far, we don't know that this is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. We have a braita that's clearly against Rabbi, that says Yom HaKippurim is mechaper only l'shavim, and not l'inan shavim, which is clearly against Rabbi's position, but we have no authorship. And then my answer is, Stam Sifro Amani, who is the default author of Torah Kohanim? Rabbi Yehuda. That the Gemara gives in other places, the Gemara notes that certain Tanaic works, there is a default author. Just like we have by Mishnayot, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir Hi. So also we have by the Sifra, Torah Kohanim, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So now, this was a Sifra, this is the Torah Kohanim that we just quoted. And if that default author is Rabbi Yehuda, Bikamar. And there it says, Shavim in, Lo Shavim Lo, which is clearly against the position of Rabbi. Yom Kippur only works with Tshuva, not without Tshuva. Now we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the position of Rabbi. Veromi, Stam Sifra, Stam Sifra. You want to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Stam Sifra? We have another Torah Kohanim, which seems to end what we just read, the Tanya. You would think Yom Kippur only works if the person afflicted themselves on it. Vikar o Mikra Kodesh. And he made it into a Mikra Kodesh. Velo asabo melacha. And he didn't violate it by doing work on it. Lo itanebo. What happens if he did not afflict himself? Velo karo Mikra Kodesh. And he didn't make it into a mikra kodesh, basabo melacha, or he did work, he did something that violates the sanctity of the day. Minayin, how do I know that Yom Kippur still affords him that kapara? Tamalomar, Yom Kippurim hu, mikol makom. It is Yom Kippur, no matter what. So here you see a Yom Kippur providing kapara, even though the person is a wanton violator. The person doesn't even keep Yom Kippur, and yet Yom Kippur is providing him kapara. That very much sounds like Rabbi's view of Yom Kippur versus Rabbi Yehuda or the other Sifra, Torah Kohanim's view of Yom Kippur, where it's only working for Shavim, for those that return. So now, the question is, what were the three things that you're required to do on Yom Kippur that the Gemara here says that someone who keeps them keeps Yom Kippur, and someone who violates them is not keeping Yom Kippur. So the two of them are easy, which is the person who is Me'uneh or Lo Me'uneh. Person who is afflicted or not afflicted, that is what the Torah refers to as the five inuyim, or the things that we do on Yom Kippur, including the fasting, not eating, not drinking. And then the question about the other items, whether they're d'oraita or d'rabbanan, it's both a discussion in the Gemara in Yom, as well as in the Rishonim, as to what conclusion of the Gemara is. But those are the chameshet inuyim. That's easy to understand. You keep the inuyim, you've kept Yom Kippur. You don't keep the inuyim, you've violated Yom Kippur. Torah says it, that anybody who's low to an ebbe, it's a mayom azeh, someone who doesn't afflict themselves, then they're chayav karet, melacha. Doing melacha on Yom Kippur, not doing melacha on Yom Kippur, that again, the pasuk says explicitly that a person who violates the restriction of melacha on Yom Kippurim is subject to karet. The question is, mikra kodesh. What is that requirement? It says someone who kore mikra kodesh, he calls it a mikra kodesh, he would have been afforded what Yom Kippur offers. How do I know that even if he doesn't do a mikra kodesh, he's afforded that? What's a mikra kodesh? Rashi over here says, mikra kodesh, lo kiblo bebirkutav lomar mikadesh Yisrael v'yom ha-kippurim. He didn't say kiddush on Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, we don't say kiddush ala yayin on Yom Kippur because we don't eat, and so there's no mitzvah derabanan. But there is a mitzvah doraita to mikadesh Shabbat. And so Rashi says over here, the person who doesn't say mikadesh Yisrael v'yom ha-kippurim and make kiddush on Yom Kippur or mikadesh the yom, that failure, you would have thought, might disallow this person's benefit from Yom ha-kippurim. So that's amazing on a number of levels. First of all, that Rashi thinks Kiddush and Yom Kippur is deoraita. That's number one. And number two is he thinks that that's what the Gemara meant over here by Mikra Kodesh. So those are two amazing things in Rashi. The Baal Yitzchak both disagree. You can see here on the side, the Mesorah Hashas already quotes you from Kretot. There's a Baal Yitzchak over there. And he says that Karo Mikra Kodesh is Perish Biksut Nikiya. That means that you put on nice clothing for Yom HaKippurim. The Baal Tosafot, according Chazal, Rashi and Chumash quotes this Chazal as well, which is that Mikra Kodesh, or sanctifying the day, is a mitzvah asay. What's the mitzvah asay? It's Kvod Yom Tov, Simchat Yom Tov. That is accomplished on other Yomim Tovim through the Kiddush, the eating of the meals, the drinking of wine, the eating of basar. That's how you accomplish Mikra Kodesh. You make it into a unique day by celebrating the day and having things that make it a unique day. On Yom Kippur, those are missing. So Chazal asks, what is it on Yom Kippur that gives you Mikra Kodesh? Ksut Nikia, getting dressed up. The way that you present yourself is an indication of the importance of the day or the uniqueness of the day. That's what the Baal Tosafot are quoting in Kretot. That still is pretty amazing that that should be the Mikra Kodesh that the Gemara is referring to here. If you get dressed up for Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur should provide you kapara. You don't get dressed up, you would have thought it doesn't provide you kapara. It's interesting. It's, again, it seems too small or too little an issue to say that the person's going to lose out on Yom Kippur. So Baal Tosafot over here bring from the Rabbeinu Tam a third explanation. Near Rabbeinu Tam, Kro Mikra Kodesh, Shemode Shebeitim Kitshul, B'Shoveit Mimalacha B'Shvil Kedushat Hayom. This sounds a little bit like the Rambam. You remember when we spoke about the Rambam in Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, that he says there that if a non-Jew keeps the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but he keeps them because he thinks it's the right thing to do, he hasn't accomplished the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. You have to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach because Hashem was mitzvah that you keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So this is what the Baal Tosafot say. The Rabbeinu Tam suggests that Mikra Kodesh means the reason you keep the sanctity of Yom Kippur is because you believe that Hashem commanded us and Beit Din was Mikadesh Deyom. You keep it because it's Yom Kippur, because it's Kedushat Hayom, not because you're lazy. Guy doesn't want to go to work on Yom Kippur and just wants to stay home and not do any malacha. So then he's desisted from malacha and done what the Torah asked of him, but not for the right reason. It's to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So Baal Tosafot said that's what a Mikra Kodesh is. Mikra Kodesh is you desist from malacha. You act on that day because of Kedushat Yom HaKippurim, not just because you have nothing to do that day or you want to just lay in bed all day. That's not considered to be Mikra Kodesh. That's the way Baal Tosafot would say it's a mindset. It's how you approach the day and the mitzvah of the day. Do you do it because it's Yom Kippur? Or you do it because that's what you want to do? And that difference will be Mikra Kodesh. The Ramban al Torah in Parshat Emor discusses over there what a Mikra Kodesh is. And he says that Mikra Kodesh is when the people get together, the Am gathers together in the Beit Knesset, and they give Hoda'ah, v'halel, and bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They daven together. Davening together, b'tzibur, and in a way that is giving halel v'hoda'ah to Hashem, that is what's called a mikra kodesh. From this, there are poskim that want to say that there's a huge nafkamino that with regards to davening on Shabbat, that might be, according to the Ramban, the oraita. As opposed to a weekday, where the Ramban argues on the Rambam, it says that davening is only a mitzvah derabonon, except in an Eitzarah. From the Ramban's description of Mikra Kodesh, you might conclude that davening on Yom Tov and davening on Shabbat might be different because davening with the Tzibur would be an accomplishment of the mitzvah d'oraita. And therefore, if you have a choice between davening b'tzibur mincha on Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov and davening b'tzibur on Friday night or on the night of Yom Tov. For instance, it's a case where the tzibur is going to daven tarte to satre. They're going to daven both of them before shkia. They're going to do it in a way where it's not Rabbi Yehuda Shita, not the Rabbanan Shita. And you have to daven b'yechidut, one of them, to accomplish that. Which should you favor? Normally, we would tell you to do mincha b'tzibur and ma'ariv by yourself, because ma'ariv is a reshut. So then we would always favor mincha over ma'ariv. But on a case on Erev Shabbat, where mincha and ma'ariv have a choice of which one to daven b'tzibur, we would tell you to favor davening ma'ariv b'tzibur and daven mincha b'yechidut. Rav Shechter paskins that way. He says if you're in that bind, he thinks based on this Ramban, that you have to daven ma'ariv b'tzibur and do mincha b'yechidut, even though in any other situation we would tell you to do just the opposite. But that's the Ramban's definition of Mikra Kodesh. And therefore over here too, I'm assuming that the Ramban would read the Mikra Kodesh, the obligation of Mikra Kodesh means to appear in shul with the rest of the tzibur, to daven together with the tzibur on Yom Kippur, and do what the tzibur does together on Yom Kippur. There's no halel v'hoda'ah, yes, akin to what Rashi says, not necessarily Kiddush in that sense, but the idea of davening together might be what the Ramban says is Mikra Kodesh. Now, over here, the Bali Tosafot asks and do not answer the following question, which is, how do you know that this is really a question? Meaning that, how do you know this is a problem? Because Tosafot says here, Tamaloma Yom Kippurim Hu Mikol Makom Tema Dilma Basak Shuvah Hayre. Maybe it's a case where he does Shuvah. Ulolam Savertana Deinu Mechaper Lala Shavim. That only works for the Shavim. Here we have something that says Yom Kippurim Hu Mikol Makom, that it works no matter what. And then the Bali Tosafot are asking is, how do you know that this bright that doesn't say that he did Shuvah on the other Avirot? The violations here are all violations of Yom Kippur. They're not violations of other Averot. So the possibility is that Yom Kippur can provide that kapara where the person did tshuva, but they violated Yom Kippur. They didn't keep Yom Kippur. So what happens if a person does tshuva and then doesn't keep Yom Kippur? That could be the explanation of this Braita and Torat Kohanim. If you do that, then it's not inconsistent with the other Braita. It says you need to do tshuva to gain kapara. For Yom Kippur to work, that you don't necessarily have to keep Yom Kippur for Yom Kippur to work, but you still might need tshuva. And there's nowhere in this Braita, according to the Bali Tosafot, that says that there wasn't tshuva done. What you have to suggest is that the underlying assumption is that someone who is ignoring Yom Kippurim or violates Yom Kippur is the type of person that's not doing tshuva on their mitzvah. I mean that there must be a correlation between someone who's violating Yom Kippur and someone who's not doing tshuva. And so therefore the underlying assumption is that someone who doesn't care enough to keep Yom Kippur probably didn't do tshuva on the rest of their mitzvot. That must be the assumption that's being made here. And the Ramban formulates it that if a person does not believe in Yom Kippur, he cannot get kapara for Yom Kippur, similar to a chatat and nasham. And if a person says that the chatat is not mechaper, even if he does tshuva, it doesn't work. It doesn't provide him that atonement. And so too, if Yom Kippur, if he doesn't believe in the kapara of Yom Kippur, it's not going to provide him that atonement. So even though Rabbi believes that you don't need tshuva, nevertheless, you got to believe that Yom Kippur does something. If you don't believe that Yom Kippur does anything, then of course it can't provide the kapara that you need. So Rabbi Lokasho, HaRabbi, HaRabbi Yehuda. It's not a problem. The difference is that one of the brightot is Rabbi, one of the brightot is Rabbi Yehuda. Now we solved our problem. The Stam Sifra we saw before, that was Rabbi Yehuda who requires tshuva. The Stam Sifra that we just brought here that doesn't require tshuva, that was Rabbi. Rav Amar ha vaha Rabbi. Both of them are Rabbi. Umoda Rabbi bekaret yoma. He agrees with regards to the karet of Yom Kippur that you need tshuva. That if Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything, even without tshuva, then why do you ever have to keep Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything. If even if I violate Yom Kippur, then it's mechaper for itself, and then I would never have to keep Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur solves its own problem. And that means that according to Rabbi, you could never have karet on Yom Kippur, because you'll violate Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur itself will be mechaper for you. So what the answer is that, of course, Yom Kippur can be mechaper and everything else without tshuva, with the exception of those three sins that we mentioned before. But with regards to Yom Kippur itself, you're going to need tshuva, because otherwise, dilo temechalki karet yom akurim l'rabbi late, right? Because if you don't say that, then there'll be no karet for Yom Kippur according to Rabbi. And the idea being that things only provide kapara when you are vested in those items, providing that kapara. So even though Rabbi believes that you don't need tshuva, nevertheless, you gotta believe that Yom Kippur does something, if you don't believe that Yom Kippur does anything, then of course it can't provide the kapara that you need. So now the Gemara says, Alama lo mishkachava. Are you so certain that if it wasn't for the fact that this was authored by Rabbi, that Yom Kippur couldn't have a case of karet? Kagon. David Belelia, Umit. He violated it at night, and then he died before the day of Yom Kippur. The law ata yomama lichpurile, because he doesn't have the daytime to provide him that kapara, because it says, ki biyom hazeh yichaper aleichem. So there, Gemara reads it very literally. Biyom means during the daytime. The day of Yom Kippur provides the kapara, not the night of Yom Kippur. So therefore, if the person violates Yom Kippur and dies at night, he won't gain that automatic kapara. So that could be a case of karet for Rabbi. Ela, eima, karet the yomama the Rabbi lately. You would have to amend it to say that according to Rabbi, you would never have karet during the day, because if the person violated during the day, you'd get the kapara of the day. Alam alo, mishkachala. Again, how are you so certain that you wouldn't find karet during the day? Da'achol umtsa v'chanke umit. Person eats some roasted meat or has some barbecue on Yom Kippur and it chokes him. He dies choking on the food that he's eating. So then again, there'll be a case where there'll be a karet and no opportunity for kapara. Vinami, or the other possibility is the achol samoch l'shkiyat hachama. He eats immediately before sunset. Tolav ha-shaut l'chpurele. Because there's no remaining time in the day to provide him with kapara. So actually, these have ramifications. The first of which is, as Rashi notes over here, that the karet v'chankatei shelo avar alav rega min hayom l'achar aveirato. It's not a moment of Yom Kippur that passes by after he dies. So what you see here from Rashi, or the indication is, that you can't get kapara immediately while you're involved in the Aveira. Which is that you can't simultaneous with the Aveira also be provided kapara. There has to be a moment after the Aveira where the kapara is provided. And that's why if the person chokes while violating Yom Kippur, they don't get any kapara, because no part of the day then will touch them after that point. So even according to Rabbi, who says that Yom Kippur provides kapara, even la'inam shavim, that's if you have a point in Yom Kippur where you're not violating Yom Kippur. You have to find a moment like that, and then Yom Kippur can provide that kapara. That's number one. Number two is, and this is important, that shkiyat hachama, that the end of the day of Yom Kippur is what provides the kapara. And this is based on this Gemara, who says that someone very close to shkiyat hachama does the aveira. Basically, continues that Aveira through sunset, they would not be afforded the Kapara of Yom Kippur. From that, you would conclude that Yom Kippur's Kapara comes right by Shkiyat HaChama, or at the end of the day of Yom Kippur. And so if you're in violation at that moment, you preclude yourself from being afforded that Kapara of Yom HaKippurim. So now, it's not Mukhrach, because you could argue from the previous statement that Yom Kippur provides Kapara all the way along until the last moment. And then at the last moment, if you block that last moment, then you can't get kapara on Yom Kippur itself. But despite that, many Rishonim believe over here that Shkiyat HaChama, or the end of Yom Kippur, is where the kapara takes place at the sunset on Yom Kippur. That is when the kapara comes about. And that's why we daven Ne'ilah, and why that's like the high point of the zenith of Yom Kippur, is because that's the moment of kapara, is at the end of the day of Yom Kippur. And this person's in violation at that point in time, then he won't be afforded kapara. Okay, you can see here in the Rabbeinu Chananel, there was an additional girsa in the Gemara that many of the Rishonim had. Rashi took it out of the girsa, but it says, Tana chomer b'seir mi Yom HaKippurim. Seir has a chomra that Yom HaKippurim does. Shaseir mechaper miyad. Seir provides kapara immediately. Yom HaKippurim in mechaper ad shetech shach. Then Yom Kippur only provides kapara on sunset or at the end of Yom Kippurim. And the other way around, Chomer b'Yom Kippurim, Shilkoyim b'chaper below Korban. Yom Kippurim provides kapara even without a Korban. Oh, da'ava sha'ut b'yom l'chuper elei. As long as there's some time left in the day, Mashen kein b'Seir. That's not true of the Seir, which is that the Seir by itself does not provide kapara. It needs the Yom Kippur as the context for that. That bright, then favors heavily what I was just suggesting, which is that Yom Kippur only provides the kapara at the end of the day. Rashi himself does not subscribe to that, and therefore for Rashi, it's just a question of, there's just no more time left in the day. But any time during the day, you couldn't be afforded that kapara. It's not unique to the end of the day. Whereas for many of the Rishonim, based on this, bright up, you can see in the Rabbeinu Chananel, They believe that the end of the day of Yom Kippur is the time when that kapara is provided. Tosafot does have a chiddush here where he says that they can't answer that it was after the bringing of the Seir Mishtaleach on Yom Kippurim, because he says that the Seir Mishtaleach is mechaper on the entire day of Yom Kippur, even after it is brought on Yom Kippur. And that is because it says, "K'biyom hazeh yechaper lechem letaretchem mikol chatoteichem." So that works even post the korban, like no other korban, where it cannot grant you atonement after it's already brought. Regards to the Seir of Yom Kippur, it does have that capacity. Although it does bring other answers that we actually mentioned earlier in the shir. Echad Israel, Vechad Kohanim, Vechad Kohen Mashuach, all of them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, are provided kapara through the Seir Mishtaleach. Haguf HaKasho, this is an internal stira there. Katani, Echad Israel, Vechad Kohanim, Vechad Kohen Mashuach, you say that all three of them are provided kapara together. And then the Mishnah immediately says, "Ma ben Yisrael l'Kohanim or l'Kohen Mashuach." What's the difference between Yisrael l'Kohanim and the Kohen Mashuach? Which implies that they don't get the same kapara, that there is a difference between them. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Afikamar. This is how to read the Mishnah. Echad Yisrael v'echad Kohanim v'echad Kohen Mashuach mit kaprim v'sarir ha-mishtaleach v'shar ha-veirot v'en chiluk b'nehem. There, where they're equated or there's no difference between them, that's a case when we're speaking about the Seir ha-mishtaleach. In that instance, then everybody is equated with the kapara. Ma ben Yisrael l'Kohanim u'l'Kohen Mashuach. Then, where is the difference between Yisrael l'Kohanim and the Kohen Mashuach? Elisha par mechaper l'Kohanim al tumat mikdash v'kodoshav v'chulei. Meaning that the difference comes up not in the Seir Mishtaleach and Shar Veirot, comes up with tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. And that's why we read the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction with regards to all of our Veirot, where the Seir Mishtaleach is mechaper. That is across the board. Everybody gains their kapara. Kohanim, Kohen Mashuach, the Kohen Gadol, or Yisraelim all get their kapara through the Seir Mishtaleach. When it comes to Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav, here there'll be a differentiation. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim will gain it through the Par Kohen Gadol, and the rest of Israel gets it through the Seir Anaseh Bifnim. So now Gemara explains it to Mani, who's the author of that position, Rabbi Udi. It is Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Stam Sifra Torat Kohanim is Rabbi Yehuda. We also know that that's his position in the Mishnah, on which Rabbi Shimon argues. The Tanya, B'chiper et Mikdash HaKodesh, the end of the description of the Avodah Yom HaKippurim in Parshat Achrimot. It says there, B'chiper et Mikdash HaKodesh, he will provide atonement for the violations of Mikdash HaKodesh. Ze lifnai v'lifnim. That is the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Ve'et omoed, ze heichal. That refers to the Kodesh. Et ha-mizbeach, kemashmo. That's the mizbeach ha-zahav. Yechaper, it will provide atonement. Elu azarot. That is the sanctuaries that are there. Ve'al ha-kohanim, kemashmo. Literally, it provides for the kohanim. Ve'al kol am ha-kahal, elu Yisrael. That's for the Yisraelim. Yechaper, elu ha-levim. Those are Levim. Hushvu kulam the kapara achat. They here you have an equation of equivalence that says that all of them are on the same level and gaining the same kapara. Yechaper. They all gain that same kapara. Hushvu kulam mit kaprim b'ser mishtaleach b'shar aveirot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that's where you see this equivalence is where they all gain the same kapara from the seir amishtaleach. So now over here the Rashi and the Balei Tosfot argue about what this is speaking about. Rashi says that it's speaking about individuals who became Tamei in each of these locations. That the Kapara that has been spoken about here is people who became Tamei in these locations and then violated the rules of Tumah and the Mikdash and did not exit immediately or came into those areas when they were Tameim. That's how Rashi reads it. The Balei Tosafot say that that is a very difficult explanation. And therefore he says, Korchach Nirah Debaza Ayri. Speaking about the places where you have to do the hadza'ot, the places where you have to put the dam or the matnot of the se'irim. That's a requirement that you do it between the poles of the aron. The echal means on the parocha that separates between the kodesh and the kodesh kodeshim. Mizbeach is the mizbeach ha-zahav. Vazarot is the sharia dam that they put on the mizbeach ha-chitzon. And that's what it references to here. Problem with that explanation is clearly what influenced Rashi is those are all said explicitly in the Pasuk. Why do you need a Pasuk to tell me where to put the Matnot Dam when the psukim beforehand told you exactly where you have to do the matnot dam. The Bali HaTosfot said that it is because all that was said before was speaking about a Kohen Gadol HaMeshuach B'Shem HaMishkah. That's a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the anointing oil, which anointed the Kohen to be the Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, in a case where they didn't have the oil after the Zman of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, then the Kohen became the Kohen Gadol through Merube B'Gadim, when he wore the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol. How do we know that when he wears the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol, he also performs the service in that similar manner? That's what the Bali HaTosfot say. This pasuk is coming to tell you is that these are the matnot, or the same matnot, with regards to the Kohen Gadol, who is Merubeh Bigadim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now Rabbi Shimon argues on Rabbi Yehuda, both in his bright as well as in our Mishnah, Shem Shadam Seir HaNaseh B'Fnim Mechaper Yisrael, Al Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. Just like this Seir HaPnimi, for B'Klal Yisrael takes care of Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav, Kap Dam HaPar Mechaper LaKohenim V'Al Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. So too, the power of the Kohen Gadol takes care of the Kohen Gadol as well as the Kohanim with regards to Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav, that everybody agrees to. Okashem Shebidu Yav Shal Seir Mishtaleach Mechaper Al Yisrael B'Shar Aviro. And just like the Seir Mishtaleach, the vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on that Seir is what provides kapara to all of Klal Yisrael and other Aviroth. Kach Vidu Yav Shal Par Mechaper Al Kohanim B'Shar Aviroth. So too, the vidui on the part Kohen Gadol provides that same kapara of all the other Aviroth through the par of the Kohen Gadol. So now, what Rabbi Shimon points out is that when it comes to the Seir HaSeir B'Fnim, the Seir HaSeir B'Fnim doesn't have any vidui, and yet it still provides kapara for Bnei Yisrael, for Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. So if you see there that Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav does not require vidui, simply putting the dam, the matnot dam, suffice, then by the par it should be the same thing. The dam provides that kapara. So then why is there a vidui on the par? That vidui must equate or be similar to the vidui that's done on the Seir HaMishtaleach. And therefore Rabbi Shimon comes to the conclusion that the Seir HaMishtaleach is only for Klal Yisrael, not for the Kohanim. The Kohanim get their kapara through the vidui on the par. And then Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav for Klal Yisrael is through the Seir HaNaseh B'Fnim. And for the Kohanim is through the Dam HaPar that is done Lifnai B'Fnim and so on and so forth, just like the Seir HaNaseh B'Fnim. The Rabbi Shimon, Havadai Hushbu. Wait a minute, for Rabbi Shimon, what about the fact that the kapara is equated in the pasuk that we brought before? Ma Hushbu, what does it mean they were equated? To Bnei Bakapara Ninu. They're equated in the sense that they are all providing kapara. Miu kol chad v'chad mechaper b'dinapshe. Nevertheless, each one of them gains their kapara in their own unique way, which is that with regards to Bnei Yisrael and the Kohanim, yes, they gain the same kapara. They're afforded the same kapara. That's what equates them. But how they do that, or what provides them that kapara, that happens individually. My time of the Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's position? Dichtiv. Lakach et shnei ha-se'irim. Itkish seir mishtaleach le-seir neseh bifnim. The Torah requires that you take both se'irim. Over there, it's an interesting pasuk, and we'll see in a second how Rabbi Yehuda interprets it, but it says you must take both of the se'irim. It doesn't say just bring 2 seirim. It says that the 2 have to be taken together. And through that, he says, there's a hekesh between the seirim. Ma seir haneseh b'fnim enu mechaper l'kohanim. Just like the seir haneseh b'fnim, everybody agrees, doesn't help out the kohanim. Al tumat mikdash v'kodoshav, dichtiv be'asher la'am. Because there it says specifically, it's for the people, not for the kohanim. It's only for tumat mikdash v'kodoshav for Bnei Yisrael. Av seir mishtaleach enu mechaper l'kohanim b'shar aveirot. So too, the seir mishtaleach will only function for the am, and not for the Kohanim with regards to Mechaparah and other Aveirot. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yehuda say, L'hachi Itkish. That's what the Hekish is for. Sheish Shavin B'Mareh, V'Koma U'B'Damim, Hudaata. No, that, where it says Shnei Asirim, it's not telling you they provide the same Kaparah to the same individuals, not that they just provide it for Klal Yisrael, but rather, the comparison is because when you buy them, they have to be as similar as possible. That means they have to look alike, they have to be the same height, the same price. We try as much as possible to make the Se'irim undifferentiated, meaning that they are so alike that when you throw the Hagralah, it's as if you can't tell the difference between them. And that's important when you think about the Hashkofa of the Seir HaMishtaleach, Seir HaBifnim, that either one of them could have been the Seir HaBifnim or Seir HaMishtaleach, and that has implications with regards to the Avoda on Yom HaKippurim. But that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda about what that Hekish is for. So, Ma'an Tanu L'Ad Tanu Rabbanan. Who's the author of this braita? V'shachat et seir hachatat asher la'am. That you have to shech the seir that belongs to the am, which is the seir neseh bifnim. Shein kohanim mitchaprim bo. That they don't get kapara through that. Uba memit kaprim. And where do they get that kapara? Biparo shel aron. They get their kapara through the par of aron. Locho lo yitchapru biparo shel aron. You would think maybe they don't get kapara in the par of aron either. Shereik varner mar asher lo. It says that the par that the Kohen Gadol brings in Yom Kippur has to be paid for personally by himself. It's his par. It's par shelo. Me'ata enlam kapara. Now you have a problem. The Kohanim have no kapara. They don't get from the par because that belongs to the Kohen Gadol. That belongs to Aaron. And then they don't get it from the Seir because the Seir Sebifnim is la'am. It's for the people aside from the Kohanim. Shomer yichaper al Kohanim. When we say that it's chaper for the Kohanim, matzinu lehem kapara. We see that kapara is afforded for the Kohanim. B'mehin mit kaprim. Where do they get their kapara? It's uncertain here. You have one par that's the Kohen Gadol's. You have the seer which belongs to the Am. The Kohanim are promised kapara, but how? Where does that manifest? Mutav shi kapru v'paro shel aron, shei hutar michlalo etzel beito. It makes more sense for them to be included under the par of aron. Because the par of Aaron, despite the fact that it is his personal par, includes more than him personally. Which is, it says, ba'ado uba'ad beito. It'll provide kapara for him and his bayit. So the interpretation of bayit is either ishto, his wife, or beito, his immediate family. But you see, despite the fact that he personally is bringing that par, and it's his own personal par, it still provides greater kapara than to him himself. So once you've already breached the idea that it's solely his, then you may as well include more people too, including the Kohanim. Versus the Seir, which is only mentioned about the Am, that Bnei Yisrael are the ones who get Kapara from that, and it doesn't have any other inclusive term. The people who provide it are the ones who get Kapara from it. If you want to disagree with that or think that's not the case, Hari Omer, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Beit Aron Baruchu Et Hashem, Beit Levi Baruchu Et Hashem, Yirei Hashem Baruchu Et Hashem. Clearly over there, Beit Aron is not just the household of Aron, his family, or his wife. Beit Aron clearly is a view to all the Kohanim. Because the next line in the Pasuk is Beit Levi. So you see, Beit Aron refers to Beit Kohanim in contrast to Beit Levi, which is referring to all of the Leviim. So you see the word Bayit has a more inclusive side to it, which is it includes all Kohanim. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf will discuss why you needed to read an extra Pasuk to learn that. So now, Mantano, who's the author of this braita that we just brought? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, the local Rabbi Yehuda. That braita can't be like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kohanim Yeshlem Kapara, Basir Mishtaleach. The Kohanim do get their Kapara through the Seir Mishtaleach. And so why would there be a question about the Kohanim getting Kapara? We don't know where they get Kapara from. Umani. So then, who is the author of that position? Robo, or the other possibility, it's Rabo, Amar Rabbi Shimoni. It's authored by Rabbi Shimon, who believes that the Kohanim don't have any kapara through the Seir Mishtaleach, and all their kapara comes through the par. Why can't it be Rabbi Yehuda who's the author of here? Hachikamar miata ein lehem kapara b'tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. The way to read that brayta is not that they don't have any kapara at all, including other mitzvot. It might be that we're speaking about the kapara b'tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. There, the Kohanim are promised kapara, but there's no indication as to how they gain that kapara. And that's the question of the braita. Shomer yichaper lakohanim, matzinu sheyesh lehem kapara, b'shar avirot. So we see when it says kapara, that they have kapara on other avirot, because that yichaper is not specifically about tumat mikdash v'kodoshav, but the fact that they get kapara fully on Yom Kippur for other avirot. Kmo detzvinu sheyesh lehem kapara b'shar avirot, kach yesh lehem kapara b'tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. It's clear that if they are afforded kapara for other avirot, then certainly they should be afforded kapara for tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. B'mehin mit kaprim. Where do they get their kapara? Mutav shi kapro b'paro shel aron. Shehutar mi'chlalo. Makes more sense that they should get kapara with the par of aron, because there it is opened up to more than himself, etzel beito, to include his wife or his direct family. Ba'yitz kapro b'seir anaseh b'ifnim. And it should not get the kapara to the seir neseh bifnim, sherei lo hutar michlalo. Because there's nobody included besides the am, besides Klal Yisrael. Vim naf shechal omar. And if you want to say that that's not a good proof, Hari Omer, Beitaron Baruchu et Hashem b'chulei, the rest of the Braita. So you could explain the Braita even in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore there's no indication that that is authored by Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi Yehuda. You could read the Braita if you narrow the scope of the Braita to be speaking about Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav. Then it could even be Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Kaparadas, according to Kohanim, is speaking about all of Eirot, you could still parlay that into Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav, and that is why it could be authored even by Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason that it provides that Kapara for both the Kohen and his family and the Kohanim is because it says there, Bado Bad Beito, twice. When the guy's in the Bidoy, and we say Bado Bad Beito, the first one is coming to speak about his wife or his direct family, and the second one is Bado Bad Beito, is for this greater Bayit the Beit Kohanim. Okay, we're going to stop 6 lines down here on the top of Yudalad Amin Aleph, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow, where it deals with the second half of the Bright as to why it brought the Pasuk as an additional proof.